You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're joined for the first time, I believe, by Brendan Brown. He is the Chief Economic Advisor at Mitsubishi UFJ Securities International, also associated with two very prominent institutions, the Mises Institute and the Hudson Institute. He is the author of numerous works, including most recently A Global Plague of Market Irrationality and Its Origins in Fed Quantitative Easing. Brendan Brown, welcome. It's good to have you with us, sir. Thanks so much for your time.
I'm good to be with you.
You are, I gather, at the moment in the United Kingdom and watching rather closely the emerging political, situation, dynamic, if you will, about something that has come to be called popularly Brexit. I guess that stands for the British prospective exit from the European Union. If you would just share a little bit with us where we stand, the United Kingdom, that is, stands at the moment in that process, and then we'll talk about whether that's an advisable thing to do or not.
Well, where we stand is that there have been some negotiations between Britain and its EU partners as to how the terms may change somewhat as regards immigration in particular and welfare benefits for immigrants from the rest of the EU coming into the UK. There hasn't been any big news on that. The most recent crop of opinion polls seem to be leaning in the direction of an exit being most popular. And I guess the most obvious reason as to why that's happening is the immigration crisis in Germany. Immigration is really the key issue here if it's moving public opinion. And with a million immigrants having gone into Germany and the fear that many of them may come on into the UK, that's probably become the most live issue of all.
It's clearly stirring people up on the continent, and it's hardly surprising that it would be inflaming those who've had some skepticism about what the continent's up to anyway in the United Kingdom. We're visiting with Brendan Brown. He is a chief economic advisor at Mitsubishi Securities International and a man who has been giving considerable thought to economic issues both in Europe and elsewhere. And we'll talk about China in a moment. But Brendan, just staying with this Brexit business, what is your current reading of the attitude of Her Majesty's government on this idea of withdrawing from the EU? And what is your counsel looking at least from an economics point of view?
Okay, well, the government's attitude is basically they would want to stay in. The big catch-22 in all of this is that whether it makes sense to stay in or not stay in does depend crucially on what deal the UK government could negotiate with the remaining EU countries if they decide to leave. And, of course, no one knows what sort of deal they're going to get. I mean, if there was a Kissinger figure or a Talleyrand figure doing a negotiation, maybe Britain would get a very good deal, such a good deal that Britain would do very well outside. So there's an inherent sort of uncertainty there. Other people would say that the Cameron government has shown itself to be such a poor negotiator elsewhere, but nobody would trust him to get a good deal. So that's really the crux of the issue.
Interesting. And in terms of the kind of impact that you would anticipate should Britain withdraw, I guess we could talk about what the political implications might be as well, but that may be a little far afield for you. But do talk about what you judge the financial and economic implications might be, as those are perhaps a little easier to understand.
Well, it provides an opportunity and it provides a lot of problems. The opportunity is that Britain outside EU could dispense with a lot of the regulations, and it could be fantastic new period of deregulation and greater market forces, particularly in the financial area and the City of London becoming much more able to market its services around the world. That would be the good side of it, but there has to be a clear program to do that. The negative aspect would be clearly international firms, whether financial or non-financial, being more reluctant to come into the UK because they're not sure whether they're going to have access into the other EU. The other aspect here is also the American side, that there is a view that if Britain comes out of EU, they could negotiate some very good trade pacts with other countries and for example, the United States. So that's also a question.
And as you look at this issue of British repositioning, shall we say, does that regulation really represent a a terrible burden on the British economy. I've heard from friends and colleagues in Britain for many years about other kinds of eurocratic impositions on, well, freedoms for that matter in Britain. How does it look from your perspective in terms of its actual cost to Britain to be under the EU regulatory arrangements?
Most surveys do show that UK labour markets and other markets are probably the least regulated in the EU, despite the EU regulations. But having said that, some of the estimates of costs are even as large as 5% of GDP. I mean, the other point I would just like to hang on here is that once Britain does leave EU, if they decide to leave, what's left in the EU is also very different, and there could be some very big political backlashes in various countries. But the crucial negotiation to be done is going to be between Germany and Britain.
It will be very interesting to watch this play out. And the timing as of now looks to be what?
Well, it's fluid. The Cameron government would like to get a referendum in the summer. Merkel and Hollande for Germany and France, probably their inclination is to try to push all of this beyond their own elections in 2017, because they know the consequences in their own countries could be so serious in terms of elections.
Interesting. Well, again, you will be watching it closely, and I hope we'll be able to lure you back to talk further about it as this develops further. Before we let you go, though, let me ask you, Brendan Brown, what is your current reading on China's very dramatic economic slide of late? You're obviously watching these things closely for Mitsubishi, but you've also indicated that you think the West is complicit in some of its machinations, particularly with respect to currency manipulation. Talk about that, if you would.
Definitely. China has been the center of the huge flow of funds into the emerging markets during this cycle. It had a great boom, which has now turned to bust. I don't see China in a crash by any means. What I think we are seeing in China is this huge areas of what Austrian school economists call malinvestment, or investment that was very bad, and there's huge surpluses related to that. And given the constraints on market forces in China because of the great amount of power wielded by the Communist Party, it's going to be a very slow job to rebalance the Chinese economy. So I would see many years of very low growth with many social, political, and economic tensions. Now, the obvious way of maybe ameliorating some of these would be to say, okay, well, let's free up the currency markets, allow money to move out of China, have a cheaper currency, and insofar as you get free capital movements, it would probably also help to reduce the overarching power of the Communist Party inside China, because if capital is free to move in and out, they exercise less power. Now, you would think in many ways America and Europe would support that, but in what we actually see is that the US and Europeans and IMF are actually joining together with the communist hierarchy in China to actually support a blocking of capital movements and want to see the deregulation go very slowly. My explanation for that is that in the West, in America and Europe, there's so many people doing deals with the Chinese leadership and what you would call crony capitalism. But in a way, there's an unholy alliance between the crony capitalists in the West and the crony capitalists in China.
Sounds absolutely right. Brendan Brown, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid, for the moment, but we will be back to you both on the Brexit issue and on China and more. And thank you very much for your time today. Thanks for the work you're doing at the Mises Institute and also with the Hudson folks. Keep it up. Next up, we'll talk with one of the leaders in Congress in the effort to prevent the importation of more jihadists. Representative Brian Babin joins us right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.